This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to 5-on-3, WFUV's best, if only, hockey podcast. Today, I am joined by two very solid puck enjoyers, Brian Raybacks and Will Jing. These are guys that know their way around a rink, even if they might not be on 5-on-3 every week. So, you know, generally, I like to open this up with a, you know, fun little question, but we're going classic FUV. Brian, Will, how are you guys doing?
We're going classic today. I like it. You know, I try to live up to the greats that have come through the doors here on 5-on-3 as much as possible. You know, I rattle off the names that have been here the last time I was on the podcast, borderline Hall of Famers, if we're being honest, that kind of talent. So just to be on this podcast and being featured here, always a blessing. And this is the time of year to do it. A lot of exciting, really must-watch hockey coming up in the next couple of weeks. So I know, Nick, you're nodding your head. You certainly know that with watching the Islanders every single night. So it's an exciting time to be on the pod, and I'm very thrilled to be here with you guys here today.
Into the last stretch of the regular season, this hockey season, and I just went to the Rangers-Devils game last night. I know we'll talk about that later as beat reporting for WFUV, and that line brawl was insane. And I mean, my Rangers are doing great, but there's a lot of good hockey left. I mean, like, I was looking at the NHL schedule not too long ago, and there's, I think for the rest of the season, there's maybe one day where there's not a marquee matchup for the rest of the season.
Yeah, you said it, not a day without a marquee matchup. And you were at one of the premier games yesterday. It was the Rangers and Devils. You took a nice picture ringside that I actually thought was really cool. So that was awesome. So I'm going to give you a chance to, as our great leader says, wax poetic about that game. But let me give you the bare details, and then I'll let you go. I'll let you expound. So 8 players were assessed fighting majors and ejected during the line brawl, which took place right after puck drop. Lazar and VC got fighting majors, but remained eligible to play because they were the first fight, and every other skater got ejected because it's a secondary altercation. So that means Trouba, Rempe, Miller, Goodrow, all for the Rangers got tossed. Marino, Tierney, McDermott, and Ball got tossed. And this was an interesting dynamic, and I'm going to give you a chance to talk about this, Will, the McDermott and Rempe dynamic, because just a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, McDermott had some really not nice things to say, and then he actually had some nice things to say. So, Will, just what was it like taking that all in?
Well, to start, I was just watching the starting lineups just go on the Tron, and I was like, Matt Rempe, that's kind of interesting. I've never seen that one before. And then I was like, why is this happening? And then puck drops, and my question was answered immediately. And it was funny because everyone was so focused on Rempe. I don't think anyone was paying attention to the 4 other fights that were going on. Even though Keandre Miller knocked out John Marino in like an instant on the right side of the ice, like there were a few fans that cheered, dead focused on Rempe. And I think Rempe actually, he lost the fight by a little bit, but he held his own. And I mean, from there, it was just the intensity of the game just ramped up completely. Obviously, the Rangers were out without Trouba and Miller. And so Adam Fox, you know, Ryan Lindgren and Braden Schneider and Eric Gustafson had a lot on their plate last night. And I think Peter Laviolette said after the game that Adam Fox played close to like 30 minutes. So that was quite insane. But I mean, both teams competed very hard the rest of the game.
I mean, look, when you're seeing Matt Rempe in the starting lineups and a couple fourth liners in there too, you kind of get the idea of what's going on here. And listen, like something like this, like had to have been coming. I know that the Devils and the Rangers have been at each other's throats this year. I mean, especially with the last meeting that they had with the Rempe hit on Siegenthaler, and he ended up getting a suspension. So I've been very critical of Matt Rempe and his habits and what he likes to do on the ice for the most part, but I guess like last night's a moment where I can applaud it a little bit because it was cool to just see something like that, because you don't see that happen, which is just really goes to show that the heat and intensity that exists between these two teams is there, which is great because the Devils aren't as good as they were last year. So a lot of the competitive juice that you saw in that playoff series last year, it shouldn't still be there, but it is. So you have to at least credit that. And I guess it's fun. Matt Rempe has been in the penalty box for 47 minutes and he's only been on the ice for five when he's played the Devils. And I'm sure you guys saw that graphic all over Twitter. There's a lot of sirens going on outside of my room right now. So maybe who knows? It's kind of apropos now, but it's just like it's fun and adds excitement. And you know what? Like the Devils needed to at least like take a stand after the just inexcusable hits from Rempe last time out. So I was all for it, to be honest. Like let the guys go at it. And yeah, Will, just to be there in person for just a 5-on-5 brawl, awesome. So hats off. That must have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, imagine if the Rangers still had. Oh,
No, go
I
ahead,
was gonna
Will.
say, imagine if the Rangers still had Ryan Reeves. That would have been a wild line brawl.
That would have been a fight and a half. And the Rangers practice just ended up, and we've got some fresh quotes about the fight if you guys want to hear some real fresh quotes. They asked Rempe
Lay
about
it on
it
me.
just about an hour ago. He said, "That was a banger." So I think that's a great quote. Trouba had a nice quote. He said, "I'd be lying if it wasn't a team building exercise in a sense. We're all in this thing together." And I think that's a good way to go about it. I saw a quote, I forget which Rangers player it was from, but he said, this isn't like a clown show. Like, we're not doing it to just do it. It's, it serves a purpose. So as long as they're doing it not to as long as they're not overdoing it for the sake of fighting. And I think that's where Rempe comes in big time. Will, I'd like to hear your thought about that. But I think as long as they're not doing it just to fight, I'm okay with it. But fighting for fighting's sake, I don't think belongs in the game of hockey.
I think it's a lot just stemming from the bad blood from the last game where Rempe had that hit. And then obviously there's still a little bit of I don't want to say bad blood from last year's playoffs, but I think that competitiveness and not a true hatred in terms of like hatred for the other team's players, but just like competitive hatred. I think that probably kind of pushed them a little bit. I think once in a while this is okay, as long as it doesn't happen too often, because you don't want to be running around with four defensemen for every game. That's going to be really hard, obviously, on those four guys. But I thought the Rangers did a pretty good job for the rest of the game, just kind of handling that, except in the second period where they had that stretch where it got very shaky. The Devils got three straight goals, and everyone in the arena was like silent. No one knew what was going on, and like. I went to the Islanders Devils game. I think it was last week to beat a report. I think Matuch gave up that assignment, and over there it was weird because I would say it was about like a 75-25 split in terms of the fans in favor of the Islanders. But yesterday at the at MSG, even though it was closer to New Jersey, it was probably more of like 90%+ Rangers fans. So when the Devils went on that tear, the arena was silent.
Right. And you got to think about the fact that that's probably the case because the Devils are out of the race, right? So, I don't think the Devils want to go to MSG to watch them, play a playoff team that's first in the Metro. So that's a great point, Will. Brian, I want to get your little take on this. I don't know if you saw a little video of Igor during the fight, but he sort of drops his blocker there, and we're thinking, is Igor gonna cross the
Ooh.
red line? And then he doesn't end up doing it. But how fun would that have been to see a goalie fight?
Oh, he would have barreled somebody. But you know what? Like the goaltenders, they don't get in on the action enough. So like I would have been for it. And like we were saying, it's like a team like chemistry thing where this is kind of bringing the Rangers like closer together. And I'm sure the Devils can kind of say the same thing, but at least on the Rangers side of it, I agree with you, Nick, that like fighting for fighting's sake is not what's needed in the sport, but
Okay.
in a sense, like it's not that the Rangers, for the most part, are doing this to every team. Like these teams have just been going at it really since the break and since Rempe, since the Stadium Series. So I think that, yeah, these teams needed to get it out. And I guess we'll see what happens from here. But the Rangers, at least on the ice, have dominated the Devils this year, which has to feel good considering the way things ended last year. They ended with a 4-game series season sweep, which is nice. And yeah, they had to battle last night for it. But I think, yeah, the fighting, it's there, and the energy still exists within the tri-state. So you know what? If Igor Shesterkin got in on the fight, it would have been massive headlines like crazy. And you know, if Igor gets ejected, they still have Jonathan Quick back there to take his spot. So could have been fun, but regardless, a fun night for the Rangers, the fighting. They end up winning a really thrilling game. So they keep marching forward as they try to work towards the playoffs. But yeah, this Devil's beef, at least for now, it's going to subdue. And then I'm interested to see if it's going to continue next year. But this has been a wild last couple of weeks with head-to-head tri-state hockey. I think we can
As you
definitely.
mentioned, Brian, the Rangers take this one 4-3. Will, you were there. Laf and Panarin both get a goal. I believe Kako and Kreider were the other two to get the goals.
Yes.
So I guess my question to you was, first of all, what was your take on the game? Second, what does it mean for that goal scoring to be spread out amongst those four? And what have you made of the dynamic duo of Laf and Panarin in recent days?
Those are some very good questions, Nick. So, I mean, overall thoughts on the game. Listen, for the two games that I've been to for the Rangers this season, this is the first one I beat reporter. The other one I went to as a fan. I got my money's worth. Like I'll say that because the last one I went to was against the Panthers. That was a shootout win. Fantastic game. For this one, I thought the first and third period was just, Rangers being, the good version of the Rangers. And then the second period was them being the horrible version of the Rangers. So I feel like, and I actually mentioned this to Peter Laviolette in the post-game press conference, I feel like the Rangers are especially the way they've been playing in the past few games, they seem to be allergic to blowing teams out, even when they're, completely superior on paper to these other teams. And so I think that is a bit of a concern, even if they keep picking up these wins, because it just shows that, hell, maybe once playoffs roll around, you can't, just scrape by with these little wins. Something's going to catch up to you, and maybe the puck doesn't roll your way in some of these games. As far as the goal scoring goes, I think it's great that it's getting spread around, especially as a Rangers fan. It brings you a little bit of comfort, but at the same time, it's repetitive in a way because Panarin and Laffy have been two of the main goal scorers, especially as of late. And we're still not getting the Mika's advantage out of 5-on-5 production. He's not there every single game in the power play. Kreider, once again, is mainly just there for deflections. And yes, that's great. And that was the game-winning goal. But at the same time, there needs to be more of Kreider, getting shots from, scoring goals from just outside of, 5 feet from the net. So I think that's going to be important for them going forward. Kaapo Kakko's goal was insane. I don't think anyone expected that because he had two guys on his tail, coming down on that breakaway. And somehow he just got just enough room and lasered it over Kaapo Kakkonen. It's not every day that Kaapo Kakko
No.
scores on Kaapo Kakkonen, but I thought Kaapo
They're from
Kakko
the
doing
same
that
city,
was,
too. They're
that's
from the same
insane.
city.
I didn't know
Yeah.
that. But I think Kaapo Kakko, this is kind of in a small way over the last few games, the breakout that Rangers fans have been hoping for too many years. And that's something that obviously the Rangers fans will hope continue. But I think that there's also a need for more than just these guys because, again, we've seen Kakko score a little bit. So now it's kind of waiting on Mika, Kreider, waiting for Jack Roslovic to finally find his fit and not just be. Because he, listen, a lot of Rangers fans make fun of Keandre Miller for being a turnover machine, but Roslovic has really taken over that role since arriving in New York. So obviously, as a first line right winger, waiting for him to kind of do that. And then obviously, Cooley's done his part as, a young guy on the third and fourth sometimes lines, but it's just waiting for more than just the Panarin, Lafie, Trocheck kind of Kako guys. I think, yes, it's a decent amount of guys, but Rangers fans will obviously hope for more.
They'll hope for
Right.
more, and I think that these last six games of the season they have, they know where they're headed. They're just trying to get to where they need to be, which is hopefully in the Stanley Cup Finals and really getting over that hump that they haven't been able to get over. Now, this is probably the most talented Rangers team that we've seen in the last handful of years. It's just about can they do it when it matters? And there have been moments where they look dominant. They look really promising, and they look like one of the premier teams in hockey. They're the point leaders in the league, but they also have those tricky moments like the game against Florida where they're playing a good team and they look a little outmatched at certain points. And then even last night in the second period where they just totally let the Devils go on a run. So I think that they're going to have to tighten a couple things up. They have some favorable games, obviously, down the stretch, but and they'll have a favorable matchup in the first round of the playoffs. But when you get later into the Stanley Cup and you're looking more towards, the really high energy and physicality that you're going to get in the playoffs, not that the Rangers aren't ready for it, but they got to be able to make sure to keep the foot on the gas. And last night was like a little bit of a, ooh, the Rangers almost slipped a little bit against a team that they should be able to handle. But the Devils, they're going to play the Rangers tough, obviously, given the circumstances. So I think that with the Rangers, we know what they are by this point. It's just a matter of how far are they really going to go. And even games like last night will get you questioning a little bit about what they can do. But the Rangers, no matter what, they're going to be a threat. And it's just about making sure that everyone's contributing and that they're going to maintain themselves as a threat as they enter the playoffs. But obviously, it's going to be a battle. And we know this with last year that anything can happen and it can all be gone in an instant. So these last six games, they got to be able to coast into the playoffs and just make sure that they're where they need to be.
Now you're talking about these last six games, and I'm glad you brought this up because now is the time of the year where you're like your standings watching, not to necessarily see who's going to make the playoffs, even though the wild card is not settled by any stretch of the
Not at all.
imagination,
No.
but also to see positioning and seeding for the teams that have already made it. So you're thinking, okay, if this team loses, they're going to face this guy in the first round. And I don't know if you're familiar, I think you are, Will, with Rangers Twitter. But there is a significant portion of Rangers Twitter that wants the Rangers to lose the last couple games so that way you do not have to play the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Because that is a team where if you play them in the playoffs, there's a good chance you can find yourself, even if you're a better team, just losing.
I think also part of the reason is because of the President's Trophy curse. I think that's the big reason. But if the Rangers, correct me if I'm wrong, if the Rangers do win the conference and they do win the President's Trophy, that means they don't play the Lightning. That means they play the
That's
second
correct.
wild card.
Right.
So
That would be relying on the Bruins to take the first. Yes, correct. So I guess if they are going for that first spot in the conference, which they do hold right now, then yeah,
just
you would
win.
not play the Lightning.
I feel like if you want to lose, you better lose a few more games so that it doesn't end up going Bruins slash Panthers, Rangers, because then you play the Lightning. But
Right.
so that would obviously re require you losing enough that Carolina catches up to you, which is honestly still not out of the question. I think honestly the West wild card is pretty set, and in terms of who's getting in, the East is still a toss up. With I believe the Capitals hold the spot right now, and then it's the Wings, the Isles, and the Pens that trail close behind. So it's definitely a really big time of the season for those teams, and especially for I know you beat report for the Islanders. They got a few tough games. They play the Rangers twice in their last. I believe they have six more games. So if they want to make that playoff push, it's going to be a challenge for sure, and the Predators too.
Right, and today's a big day for the Islanders. They play the Columbus Blue Jackets in Ohio. today at 7. I was previewing this game, Brian, as we shift over to the island, and I'm a little worried that they might not be able to pull this out. You look at the game in Chicago, they did not dominate that game by any stretch of the imagination. Patrick Waugh says after the game, "I thought we played a beautiful game." And everyone on Twitter goes crazy. Everyone's like, "Oh, Patrick's trolling. He didn't mean it. Like, he's joking." I asked the hockey news writer. I texted Stefan Rosner about it. I was like, "What the heck do you think he meant? Was he joking? You were in the room." And he said, "No, I think he was being serious, but I think the language barrier between French and English is what changed that up." Because I think by beautiful, he didn't mean flawless. I think what he meant was like hard worked, hard fought, and a good effort from the team. So they go into Columbus today, Brian. Columbus has just beat Colorado and Pittsburgh. They beat Pittsburgh in overtime, beat Colorado 4-1, and they had an extra day off that the Islanders did not afford, and they're playing at home. Could this be like a trap game where the Islanders' season could go down the toilet?
I mean, it's kind of looking that way, but at the same time, they should handle Columbus. And looking at the games that are on the schedule, Nashville, two games against the Rangers, game against the Penguins, like teams that are not gimmies by any, definitely not the Rangers. And even like the Penguins will play it tough, and even the Devils too. Like, you
Predators.
gotta have this one. You have to have this one. And I know that they're the weirdest team maybe in the entire NHL this year, where they look so good for a stretch. They'll win six games and then they'll lose six games. That literally happened. But they've been able to kind of handle the bad teams that they've had to face. We saw them in the West Coast swing against San Jose and Anaheim. Took care of business. Wasn't pretty against the Blackhawks, but they were able to come out of there with a win. So, again, it could just be looking like a, oh, they play the Blue Jackets, like they should win, but like, no, like they have to win this one. Every game's obviously a must win going forward, but you need this one, because if they don't, like, where are the wins coming from down the stretch? Like,
Right.
they're not going to be building a lot of confidence in themselves if they drop this one tonight to just a really poor hockey team for the most part. I get that they're hot, but you have to be able to beat Columbus, and you just never know with this Islanders team, but you have to. To have tonight, or else the season's
Yeah,
over, I
listen,
think.
again, they're going to play the Predators once, the Rangers twice. And the Devils again, who just, spanked them 4-0 last week. So those games are going to be very tough. And I understand that Columbus, look, like from the games that I watched where they played the Rangers earlier this season, they, for whatever reason, will turn it on in an instant. And you don't know how because they're like one of the, in terms of the standings, they're one of the worst teams in the NHL. And then suddenly they're playing like they're the best team in the NHL and they might make the Stanley Cup. So, but even then, the Islanders have to find a way to weather that storm tonight if that storm does come. Maybe a little bit more. Their only impressive game was the win against and hopefully, for them, they'll win one of these games against a tough team. I think that's really the only way that they're going to sneak into the second wild card spot.
Yeah, that's a great point. And
And
I
they're
what
gonna need Sorokin to. They're just gonna need Sorokin to keep stepping up in like the way he did against Chicago, which not a pretty win, but you look back to what he's gone through in the month of March, and great for him to finally get a win. I think that was his first win since San Jose. So it's just been a weird up and down year for someone that we recognize as a really good goaltender. So if they can get the best Ilya Sorokin that they can get in this last 7 7-game stretch of the season, it could be a huge boost if he performs the way that he did in Chicago, but they need it consistently.
And I think consistency is a harder challenge for Ilya Sorokin than is Semyon Varlamov, because they play two very different styles of goaltending. Sorokin is much more mobile. He moves around a lot. It's makes it hard to, first of all, if you're moving a lot, it makes it hard to save rebounds. It makes it hard to save deflections. That's where it can get tough, which where we saw, some Ilya Sorokin maybe being out of position and getting caught on a goal or two. Varlamov, much more positionally sound. He lets the shot hit him because he knows he's in the right spot. Maybe he doesn't move as much and doesn't make the ridiculous saves that we see Sorokin making. But certainly, they play two very different styles. But if Sorokin's on his game, he is better than Varlamov because he does have that flexibility. So I think you're right. Even in that game against the Blackhawks, yeah, they won 2-1. He only let up one goal. But I mean, I don't think Sorokin would say that was his best performance of the year. I mean, Bo Horvat said he made the saves he needed to make. That's not exactly the biggest compliment on the planet, but that he did what he had to do. So the Islanders, some big games going into the stretch. I do want to ask your opinions and maybe get some takes on some playoff predictions. Is that all right with you guys? So let's predict
I'd be up
who's
for
gonna.
it.
Okay, let's see who we got in the playoffs. Now, I have MoneyPuck up right here on playoff odds predictions. So I'm going to give you the percentage from highest to lowest of teams that have a shot of making the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. So obviously, the New York Rangers, 100%, they have clinched. The Carolina Hurricanes, 100%, they have clinched. Tampa Bay Lightning have also clinched that first wild card spot. Could be them, could be Toronto. We'll see. Florida has clinched. Then we have Philly at a 62% chance of making the playoffs, Washington at 54, Detroit at 42, the Islanders at 25, and Pittsburgh at 14. Now, I don't like to put a lot of weight into MoneyPuck because those numbers change often from game to game, but it is worth pointing out that that takes strength of schedule into consideration, and the Islanders certainly do not have an easy road. So, Will, I'm going to ask you first, who is that second Eastern Conference wildcard team, and who will they be playing in the first round?
I have the Detroit Red Wings as that second wild card team because I know that Pittsburgh is on a tear right now, but they do not have the Capitals also have a semi difficult schedule, and look, they're tied with the Red Wings right now. They do have the tiebreaker, which leads me to believe that Detroit, since they are currently basically tied for the second wild card spot, if the Capitals slip up in one game, which I think they probably will, Detroit takes over that spot. So I'm going to go with Detroit as the second wild card, and I would say they're going to play the Rangers in the first round just because the Rangers, I mean they're already first seed and they got an easy schedule ahead of them to finish the season.
I'm going to
Brian, who do
go
you got?
Detroit as well because I like the way that the Capitals have been playing recently. So I think they're going to be the third team in the Metro. And just the Flyers, the way that they've been playing as of late, I think that they're going to drop off. And I think the Islanders' schedule down the stretch, it's just going to be too much to handle. And I think Detroit's been a good team all season. And I know they had their ebbs and flows, but I think that they're going to be able to get that second wild card. And then it just comes down to who's going to be the best team in the East, which I think it's going to end up being the Rangers. The way it stands right now, that's who it would be. So it's kind of boring because I'm kind of piggybacking off of what Will just said, but I think that it would give the Rangers a nice first round matchup, and then we'll see where it goes from there. But I think that the Rangers are just going to take the East unless the Bruins have anything to say about it. But for now, I'm liking Detroit and the Blue Shirts in round one. Sorry to the Islanders. I just don't think they have it.
That's fine. I'm gonna, if you said you were piggybacking off of Will, I'm gonna make a unique take for the both of us.
Oh.
The Washington Capitals have lost three in a row, Brian. They're running into a couple losing games. And yes, Ovi can get it done when it counts, of course, but I have the Capitals missing out on the playoffs, as well as the Philadelphia Flyers, who sit in that third Metro spot.
I see. Here we
I've the
go.
New York Islanders coming
Here
in
we
third in
go.
the Metropolitan Division, with the Pittsburgh Penguins taking that second wild card spot. That's
Wow.
right. I'm going full insanity. Flyers have lost five in a row. Capitals have lost three in a row. The Red Wings, I feel like, are gonna fall off. If it's not the Red Wings, then it I mean, sorry, if it's not the Penguins, it's the Red Wings. Those are the two options that I have for the wild card. But the Flyers and Capitals have run out of steam, and I think we saw that. And that's actually a great segue into talking about John Tortorella, the head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, who in the last 2 days has just produced some of the most fantastic quotes. Obviously, John Tortorella, a big name, one of sort of known as a coach's coach rather than a player's coach. He is known to push his players very hard. Some of his players don't like him sometimes because of the style of hockey that he plays. He has a very unique system. So I'm going to read you guys a quote from right after the Islanders lost. He says, "If you don't have enough balls to play in these games, the rest doesn't do you any good." That's what he said about the second period performance. And then he doubles down in yesterday's press conference. If you haven't gotten the chance to watch it, the whole 15 minutes is absolute gold, but there's a really important 90 seconds where he talks about the fact that, the Flyers have not been playing their best brand of hockey, and that it's on him to show that they need to take the next step. And he says, "If they don't want to play for me, that's fine, but I'm here to coach players who want to win and want to play." So I want to get your thoughts first on just Torts as a coach, and then second on these last 2 days of fiery quotes.
Well, I think Torts as a coach, like right now, he obviously wants more out of the Flyers, and he was saying that, like, oh, but people are saying we weren't supposed to be here, and he said, BS, like, come on, they are here, and it's frustrating on his end, I guess, because he wants them to take that next step, but I think we're kind of seeing that the Flyers might not be ready to compete at that level right now. And they're not the most talented team, but they have a lot of heart. But that can only get you so far, I guess. And we're just seeing it like wear down on them in these last five games, primarily, like you said. And even in that overtime game against the Islanders, where they should have lost in regulation. But of course, in Islanders fashion, game tying goal, 10 seconds left, just gave them a free point. So that helps them in the standings, but just it's frustrating. Like, I like what Trotz is trying to do, or Torts is trying to do, but at the same time, like, this is a young team, and we don't see a lot of coaches just like completely get on guys like this, where he's calling them soft for a second period and just saying that like they need to be better, but like we have the mindset of like they weren't supposed to be here, really. So I guess frustrating with the style that he coaches with, but at the same time, this team he kind of just sees might not be ready. They might make the playoffs, but their ceil I think we know like what their ceiling is exactly. So it's a tough form of coaching, but it doesn't deter from what the Flyers have done this season. But it is strange to see him be this direct in it into the media. Like, usually you'd hear this in the locker room, but like press conference, I don't know. Bold
Love
strategy.
torts.
Yeah.
Love torts. Go ahead, Will.
I think John Tortorella is a great coach. Obviously, like you said, this is a little odd that he would do this in front of the media, even though he has been confrontational with the media before. But this seems, like the next step. Obviously, I think, it's frustrating as a team that went on a really good stretch earlier this season, and then now is, in danger of losing that third Metro seed and potentially even falling out of the playoffs. I think, Torts really wants to win, and I think it's good that he's taking accountability for the fact that the Flyers aren't doing as well. I think that's important, especially if you're going to be a hard-nosed coach that is going to get on your players. So I think credit to him. And I mean, even in that press conference, he said that, maybe he might not be the best coach for these players, and maybe it's not the right fit. And that happens in sports sometimes. The coach and the player, they just don't mesh well. But I think that what he's doing right now is, obviously he's going to be their coach, no matter what the future holds for him and this team, whether they're a good or bad fit. Obviously they're going to be stuck together for the rest of this season. So I just think that it's just a frustrating time for him and probably for the team as well. And they're just trying to figure things out amidst, a few losses like you mentioned earlier. So I think actually, I didn't say this earlier. I think they will be the third seed in the Metro. They don't have too tough a schedule ahead of them, but I think that it's basically guaranteed they're going to be a first round exit.
But I think it's just weird. Like he's saying that, oh, maybe I'm not the right coach for these guys. But at the same time, you're throwing your players under the bus by doing that, saying that, like, oh, they're not ready, which is just bizarre considering that this has been a really like successful Flyers season. So I don't know. It's just a weird like way to go about it. I get he's a hard-nosed, like confrontational guy, but it's just like he's taking accountability, but at the same time, he's throwing his players under the bus. So weird dynamic, especially when you're in a playoff push right now. I get pushing your players, but there's part of me that just doesn't get it.
Yeah, I think that's I'm gonna give a little bit of the quote here because I think it's important to hear. My job is I'm gonna push athletes. I try to stay away from, I have other things on my mind that I don't give you. I was in control what I said I meant. That's about the not having balls quote. And quite honestly, when I watch the tape now, I'm more concerned than just the second period. I'm so proud of the team getting here. I guess the narrative out there is that I've heard from other people is that they're young. They're not supposed to be here. BS. We're here. We're here. Face it and let's be better. I don't think we're ready to be better, and that's my problem with us right now. And it's my job. I have not done a good enough job to get them over the hump. I haven't done a good enough job to make them understand we have to be different now. We have to be at a different level. And that's my frustration with me and the team. So, yes, I think he is maybe being a little too harsh on his players, but he also says we can be better. So I don't think that's him being defeatist by any sense of the imagination. But he says, you know what? Maybe I haven't impressed upon the fact that, yeah, people don't think you should be here, but they are here. So, yes, I think Torts could have maybe been a little better about it, but ultimately, I think that was the right message. So before we wrap up here, I'm just gonna ask one question to you guys. And it's the biggest question you could possibly ask someone. Will Jing, who is your 2024 Stanley Cup champion?
I knew that you said it's the biggest possible question, and I knew that that was coming. And
I need a knee-jerk reaction.
this is
You had
very diff.
a team came up in your head. A team popped up in your head, and then you started doubting yourself. What was the team that popped up in your head?
No, I'm not doubting myself. I will tell you that team. I'm telling you that it's it this play these playoffs are going to just come down to who hits their stride and who doesn't at the right time. And the Vegas Golden Knights have hit their stride at the right time.
All right, Brian, what do you got?
The first team that popped into my head was Dallas. I'm very sorry to the Rangers fans, but listen, this Western Co Conference dogfight, and Dallas has been up there all season long. So, you know what? I'm going to ride with them.
Okay, I've got the Jets, and that'll do it for us on 5 on 3 WFUV's hockey podcast. Thank you to Will. Thank you to Brian. And we'll see you next time.